Last time when we met, we were talking about the benefits of Tawbah, and we talked, I think, about three of them. We talked about the fact that how, if we're really sincere in our Tawbah, I was reminding everybody that the real sincere Tawbah is a Tawbah al-Nasuha, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Tahrim. And we said that if we really have that sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, will grant us paradise. Number one, that's the first benefit. The second benefit was that He will wipe away our sins. And the third thing, which we concentrated quite a bit on last time, was that how this renews our iman. It revives our faith, our iman, our commitment, our devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spent quite a bit of time on that. This morning, we wanted to continue on the benefits of Tawbah, and wanted to add on to the three that we talked about. The fourth benefit of Tawbah being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes our bad deeds into good deeds. Changes our bad deeds into good deeds. The proof for this comes directly from the Quran. If you turn to Surah Al-Furqan, Surah 25, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Surah 25, verse 70.
إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
Okay. Okay, if everybody would turn to that. Okay.
Unless he repents, believes, and works righteous deeds, Allah will change the evil of such persons into good, and Allah is often forgiven most merciful.
Okay. So herein is the proof that comes for how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the bad into good. And there is a difference among the scholars as to exactly what that means, whether it is in this world or in the hereafter. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But when this verse was revealed, Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy, you cannot imagine. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at this verse, obviously, as I said to you before, brothers and sisters, as we go through this course of the purification of the soul, the idea is to feel some of these things in your heart as we go along, and to really begin to feel this in your heart. And when we talk about some of these verses, the reason I'm turning to them is, number one, for you to know the proof so you can look at it afterwards. But at the same time, for you to feel as if it's being revealed to you right now. As if it was coming down to you like it came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And really, that's one of the great blessings of the Qur'an. If you can get your heart to be in that mode, to think that this is now being revealed to you, then it should make a big difference if your heart is alive. If it doesn't do anything to your heart, then that means that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It's not that it's hopeless, but it just simply means that there's a lot of work to be done and we need to get started. So if you take a look at this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who repent, those who believe, you see, just saying that I repent, or just saying Astaghfirullah, that's not enough. That there has to be iman, there has to be faith in what you're doing. It can't be just something, just words that dribble off your tongue. There has to be a heart that has to be involved in it. Their faith has to be there, and the heart must be burgeoning with faith. Must be bursting with faith, and that faith translates into action. Wa amila amalan saliha, and does works of righteousness, as the ayah says. These are the people that Allah changes. They're bad into good. So, Abu Sus Allah alayhi wasallam. Now, you think about this verse just for a second, and perhaps to many of us it seems, okay, it's a normal everyday verse. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with this verse, and he was like overjoyed, you know, like just very happy. You know, his joy was just unimaginable, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an captures this joy in a statement of his. And he says that, you know, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرح بشيء قط فرحه بنزول هذه الآية. He said that I never saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, as happy as he was when I saw him when this verse was revealed. I never saw him happier than this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, and of course, when the other ayah was revealed, you know, this is Surah 48, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. You know, that when those first few verses in that surah were revealed, he was just as happy. So, obviously, this means this is a big thing. It's like what some of us would translate to in today by saying that if somebody won a jackpot or won millions of dollars or whatever. But this is something that was very, very joyful for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hear this. And so the scholars later on they differed in the meaning of this verse. And basically, their differing opinions, you can kind of combine them and apply it to both areas. Because some of the scholars, they feel that this was when the bad turns into good, this is just in this world. And it doesn't apply in the hereafter. Others say, no, it applies not only to this world, but also applies to the hereafter as well. So, in terms of this world, what it means that when Allah changes the bad deeds into good deeds, what it means is that the if we do tawbah, the bad traits that we have, the reprehensible traits, the traits that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah helps us to change them into good qualities, into praiseworthy attributes for all of us. For example, if we were involved in a life of adultery, whether it was physical or psychological, meaning that, you know, we're thinking of the opposite sex at all times and our eyes are wandering and those type of things, whatever it was, whatever, if it was the adultery of the eyes or the body or the hands or the, you know, whatever, or the ears, whatever type of adultery it was, when we do tawbah, And we're really sincere about that tawbah, we really sincerely want to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the benefits of that tawbah is that it turns that type of mindset or that type of behavior, that type of attitude into an attitude where you're only thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't think about those things anymore, and you become chaste in your way of thinking, in your behavior, in your conduct, and so on. You don't let your eyes wander, and your eyes look only upon good things. If you were leading a life of betrayal, of treachery, of cheating, when you do tawbah, if it's sincere, if it's not just a tawbah of the tongue, but it's a tawbah of the heart, then you begin to make sure that everything that you do is honest. To such a degree that even a white lie is offensive to your soul. That even as far as saying something that may not be true, there's a possibility that 90% is true, but 10% maybe there's a possibility that it might not be correct, that you would make sure that you don't get involved in something like that. This is what the sincere tawbah brings on. So the bad turns into something good. So what the scholars say is that you have bad traits that would turn into good qualities. Other scholars, among them some of the great tabi'een, the second generation that came, their opinion is that this applies to the hereafter. Applies to the world, but it also applies to the hereafter. And they cite a hadith of a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, their opinion is that that all the bad deeds that we have, when we get to the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if our tawbah, now that's the condition, if the tawbah was really, really sincere, these bad deeds now will turn into good deeds. And our good deeds will simply increase more and more and more. Because all the bad deeds we did, if we did tawbah from it, then they're going to turn into good deeds. There's a hadith of a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ آخِرَ الرَّجُلِ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ النَّارِ. I know the last man. I surely know the last man who's going to come out of the fire. And he says, يُؤْتَ بِالرَّجُلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This man will be brought forth on the Day of Judgment. And it will be said to him, show him his minor sins, okay? اعرضوا عليه صغائر الذنوب, that show him his minor deeds, his minor misdeeds, okay? His minor sins. واخبأوا عنه كبارها, and make sure you conceal his major misdeeds or major sins from him. In other words, don't show him his major sins. So then the person is told, it is said to that person, do you remember that on such and such a day, عَمِلْتَ يَوْمْ كَذَا كَذَا وَكَذَا, that you know, on such and such a day you did such and such, and you did this and you did that. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَهُوَ مُقِرٌ لَا يُنْكِرُ وَمُشْفِقٌ مِنْ كِبَارِهَا, that that person, he hears this, but he acknowledges that yes, he did all those deeds. But he's really worried about the major deeds, about the major misdeeds, that is. He's worried about the major sins. So at that point, it is said to him, this person, it is said to him, that take those deeds, meaning the misdeeds, the minor misdeeds, and exchange them for every bad deed, put a good deed in its place. For every bad deed, put a good deed in its place. So at that point, the man says, but wait, I have a lot of other sins that I don't see in front of me. He's talking about the major sins. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, who's relating the hadith, he says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I saw the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this man said this, ضحك, that he laughed so hard, حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِزُ, that he laughed so hard that, you know, his molars could be seen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what the scholars, like the from the tabi'een and afterwards, they say that this applies to the hereafter. This meaning that when Allah changes the bad deeds into good deeds, citing this hadith. But the issue is that when you look deeply into the way that they thought, and the reason for this is, and they give the reasoning, you know, for their reasoning and the deep thinking behind this hadith, is that it, sure, it applies to the next world. And it applies to the next world in the sense that not only does it apply to the next world, but it also applies in this world. And you will see now the tremendous mercy and compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us. Subhanallah. What our scholars tell us is that, you see, whenever you commit a sin, whenever you commit any sin that you commit, whatever sin it would be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that you can get rid of those sins through various means. Okay? And remember, we talked about those various means. You know, remember we talked about the fact that various things that can wash away our sins. But you see, every sin that you commit has an effect, has an impact on your life and on other people's lives. Okay? So let's say that you don't pray. That's obviously a sin. And that's a tremendous sin because you're not being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you so much and you're being ungrateful. Your ingratitude now translates into your heart becoming harder and harder and harder. So you pray less and less and less. To the degree that you even put down the Qur'an. To the degree that you don't even want to listen to the Qur'an. And all these are sins now that are piling up. To the degree that if somebody says something from the Qur'an, you frown. You don't want to hear the Qur'an. You want to hear about something fun. You know, something, some other people's, you know, you want to hear some other people's faults, and so on and so forth. As a matter of fact, you go even a degree further. Rather than listen to the Qur'an, you turn on music. So all the while you may think that you're just doing this to yourself, you're not really hurting anyone, you're not really harming anyone, but your three kids are watching every move that you make. Your spouse is watching what you do. Your friends are watching what you do. And they say, look, that brother did it, or that sister did it, so our mommy did it, daddy did it, it's okay, it's not a big deal. And you know, daddy's doing okay, not sick, he's earning, mommy's fine, you know, this brother is good, that sister is good, you know, mashallah, they wear the hijab and they do all this stuff, so okay, I mean, this brother prays all the time. But little do you realize the sin, they grow exponentially, you know, and you have no idea that how these sins are growing. Now, in the meanwhile, The point that I was simply making, you might commit a small sin, but it begins to have an impact. Not only on yourself, as your heart begins to become harder and harder, and you pay less and less attention to Allah, but it has an impact on your environment, on the community, on the people that you live with. So now, you do tawbah. That's one of the means that you can cleanse yourself. Remember we talked about the different cleansers, okay? And we talked about, like for example, you might do tawbah, and that's the most powerful of cleansers. If it's a sincere tawbah, sincere repentance to Allah, Allah may forgive your sins, if He wills. And Allah knows how sincere your tawbah is. Not only that, but sometimes when we do good deeds, our good deeds act as cleansers. The good deeds wipe away the bad deeds. Okay. And when we talked at length about this, another way that we can clean our bad deeds is if we're patient through the trials and the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends in our lives. If we deal with those trials patiently, rather than complaining, if we deal with it in the way that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to deal with them, then your sins gradually are wiped away also. If none of those three work, then the punishment of the grave and the hellfire, the punishment of the hereafter is waiting. And because if you want to make it to paradise, you're going to have to be clean. Remember what the angel said. Salamu, you know, when the angels greet you as you go into paradise, they give you the salam, salamu alaykum. And then they say, tibtum. Tibtum means that you're clean, you're pure. So the hellfire is a cleanser. It cleanses you of any remaining sins that the tawbah in this life did not take care of, that the good deeds in this life did not take care of, and the trials that Allah sent in this life did not take care of. Okay? So, in other words, the point being that if those first three cleansers did not purify you, did not sanitize your heart, then the fire is there. So, it should have been that Allah changed your bad deeds into good deeds in this world because those three, the first three cleansers were there. Unfortunately, the impact of the sin, your sin was greater than the impact of your tawbah or of the way you dealt with those trials. Or the number of good deeds that you had, meaning a lack of good deeds. And so those three did not add up to the impact of the sin. So there was a big imbalance here. And obviously there's more sin, the impact of the sin is more in the way that you affected other people. So consequently now, you have to have the fire in the hereafter to cleanse all of that so you can be on your way to paradise. Okay? So now, this change of changing the bad deeds into good deeds, as you can see, depends on the strength of your tawbah, on the depth of your sincerity, on how sincere you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how real, how genuine are you when it comes to saying astaghfirullah and tubtu ilayk. Do you really mean it? Or is this something that you're just saying with your tongue? Depending on that, the bad deeds will turn into good deeds. The bad traits that you have now, the traits that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will change into attributes that will please, that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as you go through these this different cleansing mechanisms, I guess you could say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you every opportunity in this world to make sure that you're clean by the time you leave this life. By the time you leave this life. So therefore, as you can see, one of the great benefits of the tawbah is that our bad deeds turn into good deeds. And all it has to do with tawbah. If we are really sincere in the way that we do tawbah, those bad deeds can turn into good deeds. And this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a matter of fact, so important, so significant is this issue that it bothers shaitan. This really gets to, you know, it gets on his nerves, you can say. Because shaitan comes and goads you, incites you to commit one wrong thing. But little does he realize, and he realizes it afterwards, and he really is remorseful that this happened, is that he puts you in one bad deed, but because of that one bad deed, you come back so strong that you do a multiple of good deeds. So shaitan becomes really upset that, look, you know, he's very upset at the fact that, oh, I just, tried to get him into this one bad deed, and this servant now comes back and does all these good deeds, you know, overwhelming all the bad deeds that happen. Sometimes when we commit a sin, if we're really sincere in the tawbah, we can really wipe away all the bad deeds. Just like as I was portraying to you the various bad deeds that can come from just something very small. Similarly, when you do something good, the impact can also be tremendous. And there are multiple of good deeds that you can do once you seek the sincere tawbah. Like what? Like when you do tawbah and you're really, really sincere, one of the feelings that you have is a feeling of your own insignificance. Your own insignificance. The dhul that comes. When you feel insignificant and at the same time feeling the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of the ways of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is considered ibadah. And this is why when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, an-nadmu tawbah. When you commit a sin, right away you do a good deed and you're remorseful for what you do. You did a bad deed and you're remorseful, that an-nadmu tawbah. That nadm, that remorse is considered tawbah. So, yes, you did a bad deed. But now, if your repentance is sincere, that repentance starts with just the remorse. And then as you begin to become remorseful, you begin to feel low. Low not in the sense of depression, but low in the sense that, look, subhanAllah, I'm so insignificant. Allah is so great. How could I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This doesn't make sense. This is ridiculous. That how can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this realization of feeling low, because a lot of us, you know, on our high horses, we sometimes have these inflated egos and we're very arrogant. The idea is to deflate that arrogance, to deflate that ego and make ourselves humble. So that feeling of lowness, of humility, those are modes of worship, modes of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The feeling of being dejected, despondent, not in a negative sense, but in a sense that you're dejected that you could have done better, but and you're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. But that feeling of being brokenhearted in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of being totally, you know, you feel as if you're totally ripped to shreds by the sins that you've committed, that your life is just so scattered, and you realize this at this point and you want to come back to Allah with as much vigor and as much dynamism as possible, that feeling, that attitude is considered like worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The promise to devote to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from here on in, that okay, when you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I repent, but from here on in, I'm going to devote myself. I'm really going to become serious. That in itself, that commitment that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a sense of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you make a change in your life. Let's say that you weren't praying, or you were not wearing the hijab, and you now begin to pray, and you begin to wear the hijab. So every time that you do this, you're being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that one bad deed, whichever it may have been, in your previous life, you did drugs, or maybe you used to drink, okay, or maybe you used to smoke, and you repented. But that one repentance now brought on all these other good deeds that had an impact on the rest of your life, not only your life, but perhaps on other people's lives as well. So therefore, Shaitan himself gets very, very upset when something like this happens. And the scholars, they tell us that this hadith that I quoted to you a little bit earlier, wherein the major deeds are not talked about. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it is said to the servant that just show him his minor deeds. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end, he laughs. You know, when the human being says that, look, there's a lot of other sins, he's talking about his major sins, that I don't see here. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughs. And what the scholars, they tell us that what this means is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reason he was laughing is he was just so overjoyed in knowing the tremendous mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wanted to show him his minor deeds, because the major deeds had already been forgiven. The major deeds are not going to be counted. And so this is a tremendous favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to that servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, all of this pointing to the fact that how the bad deeds, they turn into good deeds. The bad deeds, they turn into good deeds. And this is one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the fourth benefit. The fifth benefit of tawbah is that it helps you to overpower shaitan. It helps you to overpower or overwhelm the devil. Okay? And the proof of this, in this struggle with the devil, the proof of this comes from the Quran. But in order, first, before we get to the proof, before we get to that part, let us see the stark animosity, the tremendous hostility of shaitan towards us, and how he has made it his sole purpose in life to misguide us. Okay, if we turn to Surah Al-Hijr, okay, Surah Al-Hijr, verse 39.
قال رب بما أغويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين.
Okay, then anybody find it? Found it? Verse 39. Okay, now listen to what Shaitan does. Listen to how he talks. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is what Shaitan says. Okay? Go ahead.
Iblis said, O my Lord, because you have put me in the wrong, I will make wrongs bear seeming to them on the earth, and I will put them all in wrong.
Okay. لَوْزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You know, I'll make it such that, you know, the wrong things, they're beautified for them. I mean, they look okay for them to do. Okay. You know, in other words, lying is haram. But shaitan will make it such that, come on, you have to lie a little bit in order to succeed in business. Huh? People tell you that. We're not supposed to lie. But shaitan will make it such that, look, you know, you can't be honest all the time, because people will think you're naive. You know, that if you tell the truth all the time, you know, you have to be clever. I mean, the bad deeds seem to be made good deeds. Shaitan, this is his... this is his promise, that he's going to make this happen. Okay? So, now, this is one place. In other words, the point being that shaitan has a tremendous animosity towards us. Okay? If you take a look at Surah 7, Surah Al-A'raf, verses 16.
قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم.
Okay.
He said, because you have thrown me out of the way, lo, I will lie and wait for them on the straight way.
Okay. So, for us, I mean, what's the dua that we make in Surah Al-Fatiha? Ihdina what? Sirat al-Mustaqim. And that's the one path that shaitan chose to sit on. I mean, because shaitan knows that that's the path that Allah wants us to be on. So he said, I'm going to lie in wait on this path. Okay? So that's why, remember I was telling you last time, that when you're on the straight path, you're trying to make salah, and that's where shaitan's going to come at you. But the minute you step off the path, you're watching television, shaitan's not going to come at you. Okay? He said it very clearly, I'm going to sit on the straight path. That's where I'm going to sit, lying in wait for you. So the minute you start practicing your Islam, the minute you start coming back to Allah, you want to do tawbah, shaitan will say, come on, Allah is very merciful, you don't have to worry about this. You know, do you think Allah, you're the only person on this earth Allah is worried about? You know, there's so many other people. Come on, you're young yet. I mean, you haven't even graduated yet. You know, what are you talking about? You have your whole life ahead of you. You know, shaitan will come at you with these type of thoughts. Okay? Okay, the 17th.
ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين.
So, okay, go ahead.
Then I will sort them from before them and behind them, and from their right and their left. Nor will you find in most of them gratitude for your mercy.
Okay. In other words, Shaitan says, I want to come from left, from the right, from the front, from the back. And you'll see, most of them will not be grateful. We won't be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you have to have that realization that I've been ungrateful. Allah has given me so much, but yet I'm preoccupied. I don't have time for Allah. I'm so busy. I hardly remember Allah. I don't do the things that I'm supposed to do. And Allah doesn't need me. These are things I'm doing for my own good to remind me of what my responsibility towards Allah is, so I can become more and more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Shaitan has this tremendous animosity towards us. And Shaitan Shaitan doesn't go to sleep. I mean, he is at it day and night, 24/7. Shaitan is at it to make sure that we are misguided. As a matter of fact, you know, one time somebody came up to Hassan al-Basri and he said, "Ayanam al-Shaytan," you know, does Shaitan sleep? So Hassan al-Basri, you know, he said that, "Lawnam lastarahna minhu ba'd al-waqt." You know, if he just went to sleep, we'll relax just a little bit. You know, just a little bit of the time, we'll get a break from Shaitan. So in other words, what he was saying is that Shaitan's always at it. He's always going to try to do his best to get you off the path. So when you do Tawbah, Tawbah helps you to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Helps you to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you turn to Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse 6.
إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير.
Okay, you get it? Okay.
Really, Satan is an enemy to you, so treat him as an enemy.
Okay, so Shaitan is an enemy, so treat him as an enemy. Okay, not as a buddy. As an enemy. As an enemy. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly, you forget about me, you forget about Allah, and Allah will appoint a devil to you. You know, to be your companion. So if you want to keep the devil away, like if you want to do tawbah, tawbah chases the devil away. It chases the shaitan away. So it helps you to overpower shaitan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that, you know, if you step away from the remembrance of Allah, Allah appoints a devil to be your companion. Okay? Okay. Now, this animosity towards us is a permanent type of animosity. And obviously this animosity started with something, you know, so trivial, but yet it ended up in something great. And that is this envy, this jealousy that Shaitan had. Allah asked him to bow down to the human being, he refused. He said, no, I'm better than him. Because of that, all this treachery started. And this is why you find that envy sometimes can be the root of many evils. And this is why you find that Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, he said that I can basically make all my enemies happy with almost anything that they did to me. Except the enemy, you know, in other words, I can make up with my enemies, you know, no matter what they did to me, except the enemy who is envious of me. Because that enemy will only be happy once the blessings that Allah has given me are removed from me. Okay? Because envy means that you see somebody having something and you wish you had it and they didn't have it. So Muawiyah is saying the only way that I can make most of my enemies happy, except the enemy who is envious of me. Because the only way they'll be happy is if what I have will not be with me anymore. Okay? So again, the simple point being that Shaitan is always at it, and he will always be at it. The only way you can get rid of shaitan, or put him on hold temporarily, or put him out of your life temporarily, is through the tawbah. So if you do tawbah, one of the benefits is that you can push shaitan at least somewhat out of your life. Depending on the strength of your tawbah, the frequency of your tawbah, the strength of your tawbah, you can push that shaitan away. And this is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith, he says that in the shaitan aqal, shaitan says, and this is a sahih hadith, shaitan says that وَعِزَّتِكَ يَا رَبْ, I swear by your exaltedness and my Lord, because shaitan, even he recognizes Allah as his Lord. He says, Ya Rab, you know, my Lord, لا أبرح أغوي عبادك ما دامت أرواحهم في أجسادهم. لا أبرح أغوي عبادك ما دامت أرواحهم في أجسادهم. Shaitan says, my Lord, I will keep on misleading your servants as long as their souls are within their bodies. In other words, as long as you're in this world and your souls, because it's only in this life that your souls are in your body, because once you go to the hereafter, the soul separates from the body. So he says that as long as the souls are within their bodies, their souls are within their bodies, I'll keep on misguiding them, misleading them. I'll try my level best. And he's swearing by Allah's name. You know, he's swearing by Allah, you know, Ya Rab, you know, my Lord. فَقَالَ الرَّبْ, the hadith goes on, so our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, I swear by my exaltedness and my sublimeness. وَلَا أَزَالُ أَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ مَسْتَغْفَرُونِي, and I will keep on forgiving them as long as they seek my forgiveness. And I'll keep on forgiving them as long as they seek my forgiveness. Okay? So the point being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive as long as we seek that forgiveness. And this forgiveness, the benefit of it is, seeking this, you know, doing tawbah and seeking forgiveness from Allah, is that it'll keep the devil away. One of the benefits of tawbah. Okay? Okay. Inshallah, we'll stop here. There, we just discussed two more benefits today. Next time, inshallah, we'll go into how tawbah helps us to overpower our nafs, you know, the nafs that is telling us to do wrong things. Okay, an al-ammar bis-su'.